Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue and conclude our study of the Daniel Diet, Daniel chapter 1, verses 5 through 20. This is part 2 of 2.
The kids will take, and let's see how this works out. And what happened was the publicly educated kids, the public education system was totally embarrassed. So then, all that did was make them angry. Did under Jimmy Carter, man, they went after the homeschoolers. Reagan gave them a break and they were able to build things up. Then come along Bill Clinton. He tried to shut down homeschooling. Thankfully, then we elected a GOP Congress and all he could do was veto the bills he didn't like. That saved America, amen? Amen. With God-given wisdom, Daniel negotiates a clinical trial of a kosher diet. See, it's all in how you think, you know. That's what happened. Daniel, the art of the deal. Amen? He negotiates this clinical trial of a kosher diet. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and what? Come on, say it with feeling. Amen. Does that make me look fat? Well, yes, honey. No, you don't understand. The Bible says that's a good thing. Fatter in flesh, than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. So these guys are living on pulse, which is basically grain diet, and water, and they look fatter, they look healthier. We need to clarify something right here. Gluttony is not fat or being overweight. There's all this nonsense, and I get almost every queer who watches one of my videos sends me a message about me being a glutton. Hey, you ever preach on gluttony there, fatso? I'm like, well, yeah. That's why I know that it isn't being fat. Gluttony is an act. It's something you do, not what you are. You're a glutton if you commit gluttony. And gluttony is an act. It's something you do. Webster's defines it as excess in eating, extravagant indulgence of the appetite for food. But that's actually, I think, a very tame definition. Basically, what gluttony is what we call in this country bulimia. How many of you know what bulimia is? It's not a disease. I don't care who writes me. Write me the letters. Send me the videos. It's not a disease. It's a sin. It is gluttony. Gluttony is a sin. Gluttony is when you eat and puke and eat again. Gluttony is where you eat as much as you want and puke it up so you don't gain weight. Now what happens is, over time you do such damage to your stomach lining and everything that then it messes up to your digestive system, and then when you try to eat, then you just gain weight. Your body doesn't metabolize correctly, and most people with bulimia, if they don't die from it, if they recover, they gain weight because they have trouble processing what they eat. They also tend to lose their teeth because of the stomach acid constantly coming up. It eats the enamel off their teeth. Now, it's not anorexia. Anorexia is the opposite, where you don't eat at all. We watched a thing about Karen Carpenter. How many of you know about Karen Carpenter? Yeah, that's anorexia. That's a different animal. Let me tell you something. I am not a glutton. What I eat stays down. Amen. Brother Mike Kaler used to like to say he was a forgetful bulimic. He would gorge and forget to purge. Yeah, Charlie?
I'd just like to say I beat anorexia.
Yes. I beat anorexia. Yes. And what's really, I don't want pity. I'm not going to play a little, the world's tiniest violin for myself or anybody. I just want to tell you this because it's true about a lot of people out there. We were just talking, Kim and Jim and Nino and I were talking about Jerry Lewis. How many of you saw Jerry Lewis when he got huge a few years ago? Mm-hmm. That wasn't from pizza. He was sick, and he had to take steroids, and it caused him to balloon up like that. And that's why I gained weight. I'm not saying food didn't have anything to do with it. I'm saying when you take steroids and you have a disease like I do with the lungs, you can't be as active as you once were. And it's a double whammy. I got hit from both sides. Not being as active. When I was active, I could eat like I do, and I didn't gain weight because I was so active. Stop being active. I even cut back. And still, because of the steroids, put on 5 pounds here, 10 pounds there. Couldn't go off and just run it off because I can't run. If you ever see me running down the road right now, it'd be suicide. I'm coming to join you, you know. That's what it was to me. As soon as I start running, I get air, I start having an asthma attack. They call it exercise-induced asthma. So I just threw that in for free of charge. Is that thunder?
I think there's someone up there.
Okay. Okay. Just as drunkards drink to excess and intoxication. That's what the idea is with food. Gluttons eat to the point of vomiting and then eating more. That's gluttony. Extreme indulgence. Proverbs 23:21 says this. For the drunkard and the glutton. See how they go together? It's not just overeating. Just like drunkenness isn't just having one too many. Drunkards are people who drink to excess, sauce drunk, and they do it all the time. It's drunkards. They're constantly doing it. Same thing with gluttony. Shall come to what?
Poverty.
And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. That means if you don't get out of bed and go to work. By the way, the world's definition of obese is ridiculous. How many of you have heard of BMI? Body Mass Index? It is BS. Bull spit. Get your mind out of the gutter. I would not profane poop. I am above that. Fat is where it's at. Amen? Proverbs 28:25 says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
I got to throw this in, another free one here, but it's just true. This idea of these emaciated models that we see is satanic. These women, they look like little boys. It really is driven by a Sodom culture. Look at these models that you see on all the magazines and everything. They have nothing to mark them out as female. They usually cut all their hair off, have no breast, no body. They're just a stick. That's not because they were made that way by God. Now, there are some people, I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings here. I'm fat. Some people are skinny, like a rail. That's the way some people are. But not all people. All models should not look like that. It's because they have this, it's beyond just being skinny. It's unnatural. It's unhealthy. And one of the things that goes along with devil possession is that devil-possessed people abuse drugs. They abuse alcohol. They also are gluttonous. And that can be a part of this bulimia thing. Not everybody who has battled bulimia has had a devil. But a lot of them have. I've known a couple of them. And they went to a psychotherapist and went on drugs. They needed saved. They never did get straightened out, by the way. These two in my mind that I'm talking about right now. And so what you have to understand is this culture we have, this skinny culture. Boys, any of you men, you wear skinny jeans, you look like a fag.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't care if your parents won't tell you or not. Skinny jeans are not normal for men. It's not normal. It's Sodom. That's what it is. I see these guys walking down the street with most of them have longer hair too. Skinny jeans and everything. You just want to pull up the side of the road and just tell them the truth. You look like a fag. You know that? Some of them say, well, I am. Well, then you need to be saved or you're going to go to hell. Repent or perish.
Amen.
That's what's missing. I'm just going to tell you straight up. That's what's missing in America today.
Amen, brother.
Is we ain't got enough men who will tell men, you look like a fag.
Amen.
There used to be a day when the men would tell the little boys if they started looking like and acting like a fag, you look and act like a fag. Stop looking and acting like a faggot.
Amen.
Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. I got to say this too. I love that name Melzar.
You too.
Don't you like that?
I like that name.
Hey, anybody, There we go. Perfect boy's name. So he did what he agreed to do. And I just want to remind you this. If you're reading through your Bible, you're going to come across this. In Ezekiel 28:3, it's interesting that God is speaking through Ezekiel to the prince of Tyrus, and he's addressing Lucifer, who's the power. And he says, "Behold, thou art wiser than who? I have no expectation God's ever going to say that about me." Can you imagine God saying to Lucifer, "Behold, thou art wiser than Greg Miller"? Ain't happening. That's how the wisdom of Daniel stands in God's eyes.
Wow.
There is no secret that they can hide from thee. You're going to see that about Daniel. Wisdom. He wasn't born wise. Daniel did not receive the wisdom of God by osmosis. He didn't lay down at night and put his King James Bible under his pillow. I mean, if you do that, that's fine, but don't expect to learn something overnight, I guess the point. We're going to see in Daniel 9:2, says, "In the first year of his reign, Daniel understood by what?" What books is he talking about? The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to who?
Jeremiah.
See, some of what Daniel got was airmail from Gabriel. Some of what he got was what you've got. That should excite you.
Amen.
Some of what Daniel got is right on your lap right now.
Amen.
And then some. He didn't even have the New Testament yet. And a lot of the books of prophets haven't been written yet. You got more than Daniel had. Which is why Gabriel's not going to come to your house tonight.
Right.
You got these YouTubers out there. "I had a vision. Gabriel showed up. He looked like Tom Selleck. And he told me..." You know, that's not going to happen. You have God's wisdom in your lap. Angels aren't showing up at your house. As a matter of fact, every time an angel shows up, we get Muhammad or Joseph Smith or something like that. There you go. "For strength to fight the good fight of faith, Paul commended all to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Acts 20:32. The bread is the word.
Amen.
Pulse made out of grains.
Amen.
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 We are assured that when all is said and done, God is in control of the outcome. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to conclude by simply reading the end of the chapter up to the last verse. Verses 17 through 20. Read that with me. "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." There you go. That'll be true of you. That'll be true of you. If you will turn to God and be willing to stand.
Amen.
I'd like to end by reminding you what we were told back in verse 8 in light of what we read. Remember how verse 8 starts? "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself." What have you purposed in your heart? Listen, I know that when I talk like my fathers and my grandfathers, and I refuse to go along with the homosexual language, the political correct nonsense, and I use the word fag for a disgusting lifestyle that is of Satan and will kill you and even kill some of your loved ones. I know that I'm the outcast, and I love it.
Amen.
I want to be an outcast for Jesus. I don't want to be the weirdo that people don't hang around because I, you know, do gross things or I'm just nasty or anything like that. There's a type of outcast that is brought on by no good means. But then there's the outcast who says, I'm not going along with this world. I was telling Jay, I posted something, you know, just saying the truth about liberals. Get used to it, folks, if you don't want to hear the truth about liberals. And I didn't say Democrats. Did you hear me? I didn't say Democrats. If you don't think there's liberals in the GOP and the Republican Party, you're not paying attention. John Juan McCain, prissy little Lindsey Graham, who was it? It was somebody who they were making fun of because she thought Lindsey was a girl. And it's a man. Yeah, the judge. Ruth Bader Ginsburg thought Lindsey was a woman. Well, he kind of is. But these liberals in the Republican Party are as wicked as the liberals in the Democrat Party. And I'm talking even some of the people, some of the big, you know, they have this cute blonde that starts these snappy, snotty little videos, and everybody's posting her stuff and everything else. Like, I'm not posting her stuff because there's something about her attitude that isn't right. It's one thing to be opposed to tyrannical government. It's another just to come off as a snot. And there's something about her, and other people would post it, and then they would share it, and I'd say, listen, I'm not big on this girl. I'm not going to post her stuff. And then a couple weeks ago, what'd she do? Her name's Tommy. She goes on The View and says that as a conservative, she believes it's hypocritical to be against abortion. Her reasoning is that since conservatives want small government, then it's wrong for the government to tell a woman to do what to do with her body. Hey, airhead, we're not telling anybody what to do with their body. We're telling them they can't kill the baby in their body. Right. See how stupid that is? Every liberal is stupid. Every liberal is ignorant or willfully stupid. They will call a human baby in the womb a blob of tissue. You're stupid if you say that. That's nothing but pure, unadulterated idiocy. It's a baby. Why not have the guts to say, I am a liberal, I believe in murdering babies.
Amen.
Yep. Planned Parenthood gave the big reward to Hillary Rod Ram Clinton. Who's the hero of the baby killers in this country? Hillary Clinton. I'm going to tell you this right now. That's why you don't hear me up here always. I hear people always talking about Ivanka Trump. Ivanka Trump. Listen, I don't trust her. I'm glad her dad beat Hillary, but I don't trust Ivanka. She will not come out and say where she stands on abortion, and a lot of people say she's in the past said she's pro-choice. And I'm just telling you, you make a hero out of somebody when you don't know where they stand, that's foolish.
Amen, amen.
And that's what's going on with a lot of people in this country. That somebody says, you know, I like black licorice. Oh, wow, man, I love that guy. I'm going to start putting his stuff everywhere and promoting him because he likes black licorice. That's about how stupid it is when you hear somebody say one thing about one subject you agree with. They'll hear an actor or somebody say they believe in owning guns. You have the right to bear arms. Suddenly he's a hero among conservatives. Then you find out that, you know, he's also a pedophile and smoking crack and, you know, all these other things. You don't make a hero out of somebody like that. You make a hero out of somebody who is willing to stand for what's right and in a consistent manner. And that they're willing to stand against the powers, no matter what the cost, to stand for what's right. It's one thing to stand. I mean, you see these people, Black Lives Matter, and they go out and stand in the highway and get run over. Whew. Somebody getting run over in the highway. How could that happen? Because you're stupid. You go stand out in the highway, you're going to get run over by a car. You say, what if they were pro-life people? I'd say, you're stupid. Get out of the highway. Hold a sign. Do something legal, but don't get in the middle of the highway. I tell you what we ought to do. We're going to prove our point. I'm going to go stand in front of a train. That better not run over me. That'd be against my constitutional rights. That's how people, you know. So, anyway, I think about Daniel purposing in his heart and saying, I don't care what this costs. Because Melzar could have said, you know what? You're not going to eat this meat, drink this wine, then off with your head right now. Daniel trusted God.
Sought God first.
Huh?
He sought God first.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to see later when the other three are told, bow or burn, and they're going to say, our God is able to deliver us, but even if not,
amen,
we won't bow.
Amen.
Amen. All right, next Sunday we're going to have that study on the last verse in the Babylonian captivity. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll have a Q&A for those who can stick around. Father, we thank you for this study and your word. We thank you for the freedom, in spite of liberals in this country, to continue to preach the word, preach the gospel, to have an opinion that goes against the wicked. But Lord, if you see fit to take that right away from Americans, or to allow that right to be taken away by the wicked, how many in this room will continue to stand? How many in our online BBF family that are part of our social media, or email us and let us know they're listening, how many of them will continue to stand? They may be out there asking, I wonder if Greg will stand. Well, I don't ask you to bring it on. I'm not inviting it, because I'm honest enough to admit that I don't look forward to having to stand in Daniel's shoes. But I pray, Lord, you fill us all with your Holy Spirit and give us the strength to stand. If and when that day comes, we will stand. And as much as we are thankful in this country to have avoided another Clinton in the presidency, anything can happen. Things can change very quickly. And if they do, I pray that everyone listening to this message is preparing right now, preparing, growing in their faith, and preparing to stand, and that we are redeeming the time for the day, because the days are evil. And that we're doing this all because we love Jesus Christ and want to serve Him, please Him, and to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when we stand before Jesus, standing in His presence, when this whole thing is over. All these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jenny?
I was just going to make a comment. Make an interesting connection. They say how wise Daniel was. I'm wondering if maybe that could be connected to how I think Paul said that if you could stay single, you should, because then you can devote more time to God. So maybe that's why Daniel did end up being so wise.
Yeah, I don't think there's a cause and effect there. But there's wisdom in following that if, as the Bible says, you know that's what God wants you to do. Mm-hmm. Sadly, there's been some people do that, and it wasn't wise. They were trying to prove how spiritual they were, and it caused them big problems. Mm-hmm. So the wisdom is knowing whether or not and what God's plan is for your life. Yes, birthday boy in the back.
So, how did you know if how the Bible would compare, say, Daniel and Solomon?
Well, there's one clear difference, and that is Solomon had wisdom. He didn't use it.
That's right.
Whereas Daniel had wisdom and used it. That's the big difference. And if you ever study Solomon, it's a sad, sad case of a man praying for wisdom and being given wisdom like no man, including Daniel, according to what the Word of God says. Solomon's wisdom, as far as what he had, was beyond what Daniel had. But his performance stunk.
Yeah.
Stunk it up so bad that when his son came along, God said, that's when I'll split the kingdom. And it got worse downhill from there. Yeah, Charlie?
You talked about this in the Revelation study, about there would be 2 days and then the third day, and that first was talking about the sun. So there were 2 days, which would be 2,000 years.
There it is. Hosea 6:2. Is that what you're talking about? After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. That's referring to Israel. And the third day would be the millennium. So what was your question?
So after 2 days, he will revive us. So then that would be like, so 2,000 years after they were like destroyed.
Yeah, it could go from the resurrection. It could go from 70 A.D. We're not 100% sure. But generally speaking, could be this century. Yeah.
Yes.
It
totally has to be.
Yeah. You got to be real careful with the date setting thing, but I feel the way you do. And, you know, in my lifetime, we've seen 88 reasons why Jesus will return in 1988. And we're still here. And then he came out with a revised version that said 89 reasons Jesus will return in 1989. That didn't work either. And we had the Jehovah's Witnesses give it a shot 3 or 4 times. And Harold Camping gave it a shot about 3 times. Once in 94, twice in 2011. And on and on the date setting goes. And they've criticized Peter Ruckman and Noah Hutchings and Hal Lindsey and others for coming real close to setting dates. And they were all honest. They said, no, we didn't. We just said we thought it was going to happen. We didn't say it would, you know. But that's why I try to be very careful that 2,000 years takes us from 2030 from the year 30 AD is 2030, which is 13 years away. And if that's the second coming, you'd come back 7 years. And that would take you up to 2023. So the rapture should happen before 2023, if that's right. Don't go out there down there by him setting dates. I just say it. So it gets exciting to think about it. And then when you see everything else, you know. Yeah, Jenny?
Vicki Reynolds asked, did Daniel ever marry?
No, he was a eunuch. She wasn't here last week, evidently. Watch the previous study from last week, and we explained that. But Daniel was a eunuch. There was no marriage, no children. Shadrach, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. No marriage for them as well. Kim?
Do you think people can still have visions and dreams today and have them interpreted today?
Yes and no. I'll say what I mean is, yes, I believe God can speak to us in ways that are, in our dreams, give you what we would call visions, but they're not biblical in their nature, or as the biblical visions are. If you go back to the Bible, the biblical visions and dreams were prophetic in the sense of the nation of Israel. If God gives you something like that, it's for you. So writing a book and selling it and telling the world, God gave me a vision or a dream about the whole world, not going to happen. As a matter of fact, the only time the Bible says that starts up again is during Daniel's 70th week, when the Bible is scarce. The Holy Spirit is no longer indwelling men as he is right now, and it's back under the old law system. Everything goes back. As you read where we're at in Daniel and you read the end of the Old Testament, after the rapture, it goes right back there. There's no one being born again. Holy Spirit's not indwelling people, and the Bible becomes scarce. The Antichrist is going to be the Pope in overdrive. And he's going to do what all popes have done, and that is try to destroy the Bible. And so it's going to be hard to get your hands on the Bible. I mean, especially the King James Bible, the real Bible. So that's why Joel is fulfilled in that 70th week, where my sons and daughters will see visions and dreams and so forth. But that's not now. That's where every Pentecostal group goes, because they don't rightly divide. They take any verse that has to do with dreams and visions and claim it. And it's just mishandling the Bible. It's Bible abuse.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.